On Aspire with Emma Greed, we talk about mindset, ambition, and the work that actually moves the needle. Listen to Aspire with Emma Greed, available where you get your podcasts.
This program is paid for by Investor Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investor Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia.
From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app.
The Larry Steinhaus Show.
All right, everybody. Good morning, right? It's morning. It's morning. We're here again in the morning. We're not here in the afternoon again. They did it to us again. Mm-hmm. They put those unimportant basketball games in our place for us to do this show instead here now.
But you have to agree that people are more awake.
Yeah, that's because the lead-in show is at least a little less boring than the other lead-in show. Although I'm not, you know.
Did you want to do the intro at all?
What's that?
So that you want to do the intro at all so that people know it's us?
I'm going to do it right now because I kind of got derailed again, didn't I?
Yeah.
All right. Good morning and welcome to the Larry Steinhaus Show. We are broadcasting live from Investor Schooling headquarters right here in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. I am Larry Steinhaus and I am the CEO of Investor Schooling. And I'm here to make financial education fun and accessible to everyone, including you, even Omri.
Me.
Yes. All right. On this show, we discuss several ways of making more money. We concentrate on real estate investing, stock options trading, the stock market, and how to maximize your retirement funds. And of course, you could call us anytime during the show at
855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137. Call us at 855-939-1137.
And you can call us with your questions about money, finances, or anything on your mind, even politics. Isn't that awesome? All right, we're also live on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube. And please leave a comment to say hello so we know you're watching. Omri's favorite fan, Kimmy's already said hello.
Good morning, Kimmy.
Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm. We haven't seen her in class for a long time.
I know.
Kimmy, we miss you.
She had a cold. She probably tested positive for COVID because she sneezed.
So she was embarrassed.
You know, like when people sneeze, they test positive for COVID.
She was embarrassed to come with a mask.
Well, she should be embarrassed to come with a mask because they don't do anything, but that's a whole other issue. Anyway, I'm here with my awesome co-host, Dr. Deb Anderson. I'm here with Omri Morad, also known as The Immigrant.
And
what?
We have a guest.
You do realize that the word "and" came out of my mouth just as it came out of your mouth, right? I mean, you do understand it. Of course, we have a guest today. Go ahead. You want to introduce the guest?
I don't remember what his name.
Yeah, I kind of figured that's why I would embarrass you. So if you want to embarrass me, I'll embarrass you first. We have a special guest here, Mark Cumberland, and he used to do the show here called Good News in Radio. Good News in Real Estate, right?
Very good, yes. 16 years.
That's awesome. And so we've been friends for years, actually.
Yep.
And I'm so excited that he's here because we're going to be talking about a couple of cool things. But real quick, you can give us a call anytime during the show at
855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137.
I think I got that number.
855-939-1137. 1137. I want to tell you, the last guest that was here actually heard it like 20 times, and then he said it wrong.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
For some unknown reason.
Hey, Mark, can you say the phone number? Go ahead. See if you can
do it. No. I get Deanne's number wrong. I've been on the air with her for 16 years.
All right. The Larry Steinhaus Show is brought to you by Investor Schooling. At Investor Schooling, we teach you things about money I bet you never even knew. We focus on practical learning. And we will equip you with real-world skills in real estate investing, stock options, tax-saving tips, and the secret of financial freedom. Our headquarters are right here in Bucks County, but our online courses teach eager investors all over the country. You can RSVP for a free class this Thursday at
855?
No. It's the website this time.
I'm sorry. Yeah. You didn't press the right button.
Oh.
So that's investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com. Investorschooling.com.
So, Mark, you probably haven't heard our show in a really, really long time. You didn't know that, you know, Omri is so, his voice is so sexy that people call that phone number just because they hear his voice.
Yeah, my wife is pregnant constantly.
Oh, my goodness. What did we get into today?
I'm sorry if you listen.
So for all the people who are online now, or listening right now, and have not heard our show, we're a financial show, but we teach financial education. We don't sell any products. So a lot of times, you know, some of these other shows, they sell products. We're a financial show. Most of the time, and we only teach education, we only sell education, mm-hmm. A lot of it revolves around real estate, the stock market, etc. But the reason I brought Mark here today is because I thought it'd be really cool to talk about real estate agents. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, what's my opinion of real estate agents, Deb?
They're not very high. it's not a very high opinion.
Yeah, it's not a very high opinion.
You always say that the minute they become real estate agents,
they get like dumber.
The knowledge drops. The common sense drops.
Right. So here I am. So that's the audience you're going to have to deal with today, Mark, is that, you know, I deal with them all the time. I know. It's amazing, right? So you've owned brokerages before, correct? Or you still do?
I've ran 7 or 8 brokerages.
Right. Do you own one now or no?
No, I just got out of one, but I've ran 4. I opened the first Weikert in Philly. I ran 4 to 5 at M. I opened the first Keller Williams in Philly. I ran 3 at M. And then I just got out of a Remax in Mount Airy.
Okay.
This is the first time since 2002 I'm not running an office.
Interesting. Now, you're a legend in running real estate offices. Most people don't know
this.
Most people don't know that, you know, like if you had a real estate agent and a real estate office and it was struggling, you bring Mark in. And if you follow what he says to do, because I know people who didn't.
Yeah, I coach brokers, agents, and offices.
Yeah, if you follow what he says to do, your brokerage will take off and your agents will be better. But I want to talk about becoming a real estate agent because I think there's a misconception out there of what real estate agents do for people and also what they make.
There's a lot. Perceptions are way off of what it really takes to be. The biggest problem with real estate in the whole real estate market is lack of knowledge.
Correct.
And the biggest problem with, we're probably going to lose 300,000 agents this year.
Wow.
Because the average agent in the United States is 61 years old. So
it's my age. I'm average. It's the first time I've ever been called average.
Yeah, 61 years old. So, you know, there's really a lot of old ones. And a lot of them are set in their old ways. You know, they still do the same thing, send out calendars and postcards and Eagle schedules.
I don't need any
of that stuff. I got a Galaxy 21, you know, so.
So I'm not sure what do we mean by we are losing them. Are they quitting?
They're going to retire.
That's it. They're quitting.
Well, they're going to retire because they're older. And a lot of them get into the business. They don't get good training. And then they don't survive. Dropout rate for newbies getting into the business is 25%. Yeah. So they join a big company. They don't get good training. They don't know what they should be doing every day. And they're sitting at home. And next thing you know, they're all their board dues and all them other fees you have to pay.
Right.
And they drop out.
So let's talk about first the conception of the average consumer, right? So the average consumer thinks a real estate agent makes a whole lot of money, right? Hey, if you sell my... Now, they're $1 million houses. They used to be $500,000 houses. But if you sell my $1 million houses at 6% commission, you made $60,000, Mark. That's half of what the average person makes in America.
Yeah, well.
So let's talk about the $60,000 first.
Big time misconceptions. First of all, if you use an average commission, the average commission is not actually 3%. It's like 2.7% or something.
Sure.
But even that gets split 4 ways. And most consumers don't know how all that works. And then you had all this court case stuff, which...
Yeah, we're going to get into that.
I've been doing that.
Yeah.
That was such a big misconception anyway.
Well, this
like, I've always
don't
done that.
How to do it. But let's go here first, because I do want to go there.
Yeah. The biggest thing with the real estate agents is, you know, a lot of them are just lack of training. And the average agent in the United States, being 61, sells 10 houses and makes 70 grand a year.
Yeah.
That's the average agent. And that's because they don't lead generate correctly. They
don't even sell 10 houses.
They don't think like business people. They think like real estate agents. And there's a difference.
Yep.
Like the 80-20 rule, you know, 20% makes you all the money. The 80% is the busy work. In real estate, showing houses and going to a settlement and doing all the paperwork and all that 80% makes you no money.
I didn't know it's that
the
good.
The only thing that makes you money is getting the buyer and the seller in the very beginning.
Yeah.
The rest of it's all busy work that actually costs you money. And that's where the big mistake with agents is. They don't understand. If you're making 100 grand a year, you're worth 50 bucks an hour. They don't understand when they're sitting around doing paperwork or showing houses or sitting in an open house, it's costing them $50. They don't think that like that.
I agree. I used to do 48 to 50 transactions a year. When I was a heavy-duty real estate agent, I decided to do other things, so that's why I'm not a real estate agent anymore. I mean, I still have my license. I still have a brokerage. Matter of fact, we have a brokerage here called the Investor Brokerage. It's funny. We talk about this all the time. People who want to become real estate agents, they want to become real estate agents because they want to learn how to invest in real estate, which one thing has nothing to do with the other, which is the funniest thing. You can invest in real estate without having a real estate license, or you can be a real estate agent and never invest in real estate.
Most real estate agents never do invest.
That's right. They never do.
Because they are always in the 80%. So all their time's eaten up. And also because of their personalities, the DISC, the DISC, majority of the population are S's and C's, 90%. And they don't pull the trigger. They don't take chances. So that's why they never make an investment.
So that's interesting you say that, too. Most people who don't advance in life don't take chances. And
you gotta
that's
take
why
chances.
They don't advance in life.
Yeah.
You got to take chances. First of all, life is exciting when you take chances. Look at it, Armory. Armory comes from Israel, right? Mm-hmm. He says, you know what? I'm tired of being in Israel. I'm tired of having to worry about getting on a bus and being blown up. So I'm going to bring my family to the United States. And no, that wasn't it.
It wasn't it. We believe there can be a different life for Jewish, especially for Jewish kids.
Yeah,
and
sure.
and I came here also because if it's financial show, financially, the right. options here are much greater than in Israel.
Anywhere in the world, yes, yeah.
absolutely,
yeah,
it's
much
an incredible
greater.
Country. And now it's so much better. The last month has been incredible.
Hey, I survived 2008, and I just survived 4 years of the last administration.
Yeah.
Half of the real estate schools in Pennsylvania went out. We went from 90-some schools to about 39 actives over the last 4 years.
Wow.
That's how bad that
economy was. Now, you also have a real estate school where you teach people to become real estate agents.
Yeah. Philadelphia real estate classes.
Which is kind of, it's amazing, because I find this interesting, and I don't mean this to be insulting to people. But you all, I mean, what's it now? $500, $600?
$499.
So yeah, $500, you can become a real estate agent to take the course. Now, you know, it's a great course. You're going to learn things.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you're going to learn things. You also get the book, right? There's a book, right?
Well, we give, our school's different. We're the only school in the state that we give you the book, the whole 75-hour course, plus we give you a coaching session called 0 to 20 Million in Production. So when you get out of my school, you actually
learn
how
something,
to make
right.
money.
Right, and that's the difference. So, like, when Mark teaches you, you actually learn how to not be a real estate agent. You learn how to be a business person. Too. I can't tell you how many people become real estate agents, and they think it's a job. And then they're like, okay, great, I'm a real estate agent. I'm going to make a whole lot of money. And they come into the office like, what do I do now?
Mm-hmm.
And do people even do desk phone time anymore? You know,
well, I wouldn't. I mean,
I would never do it either.
I would call, right. Like, our first day in our school, the first day, all of my teachers make them get their database together. So by the time I come in, their database is everybody in their phone, everybody in email they ever met. And they have that. When they come in, they got to tell me the number, because I ask them individually what their number is. And then I teach them what they need to do every day. 5 days a week, they need to call 5-10 people, use a script. And you don't call people up and say, you want to buy a house? You want to sell a house? You call them up. You give them real estate information, what's happening with the buyer side, the seller side. And then you say the magic words, I need your help. And most of the population are S's and C's. And if you ask an S or C to help you, they will.
You're getting into the DISC stuff now, which
yeah,
is cool. But you got to remember, we have an audience right now.
I know.
That they're not inside your head, man.
I know.
The Army makes that mistake all the time.
When you say
you're talking about people who are submissive and they're very conformative is what you're talking about.
Yeah, they
right?
don't like confrontation and
right.
they don't make snap decisions.
Right.
Yeah.
So what he's talking about, the DISC test is a personality test. Mark's a big fan of personality tests called DISC. I'm a big fan of it as well. Actually, it's funny. I can now read people. I actually look at people and go, I know what you are. I know what you
no
are.
No doubt
you
about
are.
It.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
It's almost like cheating.
Yeah, it's like cheating. Exactly right. And it's funny. There are certain personality types that I can't be in the same room with. I actually, my skin crawls if I'm in a high C.
I have
C.
that problem with my accountant and my bookkeeper.
Yeah, right. A high C is someone who's so conformative that they make me crazy.
Conformative in what way?
In every way.
They're like very detail oriented.
Right.
They don't. Their biggest fear is making a mistake. Everything has a place. Right. Everything's in its place. And they're like,
right, if the speed limit's 55 and they do 55.5, they get upset.
Okay.
That's the kind of extremely
OCD person.
Well, it's not OCD.
It's like an accountant type mentality. You know, mm-hmm. it's just, they're yeah. very deep. Me and Larry are not like that. We're not into details.
Right. We're what's called the D.
We hire people
right,
for
which
that.
Is the director or, you know, someone who could really control a room. So if you came into a room, you're a high D also, by the way, but you're a higher I than you are a D. I is influencer, which is kind of like
Mr. Personality.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you like to make people laugh. I do too, but yeah. I do it so I'm a high D, but I'm a very high I, but I'm a higher D than I. You're a higher I than D, and Debbie's interesting. She's more of an SC, but she has a lot of eye in her.
Yeah, you're a D that needs a couple minutes to warm up, and then you're joking around.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
That's exactly
right.
Who I am.
Right. So, and there's no bad personalities. It'd be different personalities. Yeah. But what's interesting, when you start to study this, I can't believe we're in this topic, but when you start to study this, and I studied it, when you start to study it, you know how to handle the person across the room. So, like, especially in sales, if you're in a sales situation and I come across a C, now you've seen me in rooms, Debbie, where, you know, where my D, and it's funny because, you know, D stands for what you always call me. So, you know, whenever Debbie's mad at me, she calls me a D word. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yep.
But it's funny because you could actually almost describe it the way I, you know, the way I'll talk to some people sometimes because I don't like them. Right. Or I know they're making a really big mistake and I like them so much that they're making a big mistake that I want to help them. Right.
Yes.
We saw that many times. Kick us off the air. You know, that kind of thing. Right. But there are times when I'm sitting across with a C and I've got to slow my voice down, lower my voice and just talk nice and calm.
Yeah, give them detail.
Not being you.
Yeah, it's very hard for me.
Yeah, not being you.
But I can do it. All right, Army,
you know, I want to tell you something. Yeah. The fact that that Mark just mentioned that the average make 10 sales a year and 70 grand.
He's wrong. They make a hell of a lot less than 10 sales. They make 3 or 4 sales a year.
So I tell you, Mark, why I'm surprised, because we have agents coming here to the school.
Right.
And they're agents because someone told them that they will go to be agents and they will be rich.
Yeah,
because they will do 2 deals a year and that's enough and they will make 50,000 on each deal and it's the easiest money.
They don't make 60,000.
Exactly. And we see them here in the school and then they figure out they must be much more active even for to make those 2 sales.
Yeah, that's right. And the biggest reason is it's the 80-20 rule. 20% are going to make all the money, 80% are not. But the biggest thing is the average agent is not a good lead generator. It's according to where they went, how they started, and that's what they do. And if you're a good lead generator, it doesn't matter what business you're in, because I coach different businesses. The ones that lead generate correctly and stay in touch with their database, they're the ones,
all the money. Even in investor schooling, right? We'll have somebody who signs up for a Thursday night class.
Yeah.
We call them. We welcome them, right? Mm-hmm. We call them, remind them to come, and they don't show up.
They don't show
up,
yeah.
And then we call them the next day or a couple of days later. Hey, where were you? What's going on? You know, you want to come back? And sometimes they don't. And then 6 months later or 3 months later, we're calling them again. You know, so you know, we want to find out what's going on. If they want to come, and, you know, that's the same thing. As long as we're doing that, then we can keep investor schooling open, literally. I mean, because that's how business is done. You know, we do a lot of advertising, of course, on the radio. You guys have heard our radio commercials all the time. You know, Larry Sinus from Investor Schooling, whatever I say after that. By the way, I'm going to redo all the commercials next week.
Okay.
Isn't that great?
Are you really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm going to PHT to redo all the commercials because they're getting old.
When are you doing that?
When I come back from Florida.
Ah, okay.
So in 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. So we need to talk about Florida, actually, because hopefully...
Yeah, but let's not talk about Florida at the moment.
Yet? Okay.
He goes right into personal stuff, which is hysterical, which is okay, but it's just weird. Because we got Mark here. We got a guest here. We're on topic, man.
No, we're
on topic.
Okay, Mark, sure.
You
know?
You want to give everybody the phone number so they can call in and ask about real estate agents?
We have a phone
number. Hey, actually, you know what I'd love to do? Tell me your great real estate story, agent story, or your bad real estate agent story. How's that? Like, you know, the real estate agent did this for me, the real estate agent did that for me. Or if you're a real estate agent and you have questions, especially about this whole new thing, which we're going to get into, about how buyer brokers can't be paid by the seller anymore, which is not exactly
true. That's not true.
I know. But that's the conception. The conception is I'm a real estate agent. And I can't be paid by the seller anymore. So I'm going to be out of business. Oh boy, that is so wrong. And it's so funny because you said something earlier. Because we started to get into it. We will in a minute. That you've been doing it a certain way to make sure that
I've been doing it the way they're saying you should do it. Since
I've been doing
I got
it for 15
license.
Years. I know. Me
since
too.
Since 99, I've been. Doing
I know.
That.
I know exactly. All right, Army, give me the phone number.
That's 855-939-1137. 855-939-1137. 855-939-1137.
One more time.
That's 855-939-1137.
All right, we got a couple other people online saying hi. We got Carrie saying hi. Oh, Carl Fisher's there. Wow, look at that. Carl Fisher's listening to the show. Carl Fisher, he runs Camaplan.
Camaplan.
Right, and he's a great friend of the show, great friend of ours. Also, Ed says hi. He actually says, pick up the phone and call your sphere. Because he was talking about it. That's exactly right, right. But here, Carl has a great question, though, for you, actually. I think it's a great question for you. Are agents going to be replaced by AI?
No. No, because you know what? When the average buyer searches when they're looking online, if their old agent never stayed in touch with them and they're starting all over, they all search on Zillow, whatever site they want to look at, and then they drive by to look at the sign. And you know what I really find, with especially with the millennials, which are the biggest group, they're very cautious. Once they actually see something that they might want to buy, they want a professional involved so they don't make mistakes.
Yeah,
that's why you're not
going
to lose real estate agents.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Because it's complicated. It's like the perceptions of from the day you looked at the house to settlement, a lot of stuff goes on. It's just like FSBOs, for sale by owners. You know, 97% of end up listing.
Right.
You know, they buy the $7 sign and say, oh, we're for sale. That's their big marketing plan. And then if somebody does show up and say, I want to buy your house,
they don't know what
how
to do.
Did they come up with the price?
Right.
Who's writing the contract? Who's negotiating the home inspection, the appraisal, all the other stuff, all the way to the end? In the end, a seller with an agent nets more.
That's funny.
And that's the bottom line.
That actually has been proven to be true.
That's proven to be
true. So even after you pay the agent commission, you still end up with more money in your pocket.
More money.
Right? Because you did it the right way. I mean, we did that when we sold the last house that you worked on, right? Because I was there, we ended up getting an extra $10,000 or $15,000 for you because of the way I spoke to the agent.
Mm-hmm. I just sold three. And my sellers netted way more than they thought they were going to net.
Yeah, so what we do at Investor Schooling, so we have people coming, they want to learn real estate investing, of course, stock market and everything, but a lot of them want to get their real estate license. Like Debbie has her real estate license as well.
It's a good idea to have a license.
Yeah, and they get their real estate license because two things. One is, this is wrong, but they think they're going to get more deals because they got their real estate license. That's not true, but they will be able to, if they see a deal on the MLS, they will be able to get the commission on their own deal.
Right, they have access. Having access to the MLS and everything else is the worst scenario about having a real estate license. You have a license and your friend wants to buy a house and you really don't want to handle it, and you refer it to somebody, you get a 25-30% referral fee.
Exactly. So it's not bad at all.
I've done one in France. I've done a couple in Belize. There's no boundaries.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't even thought about that. Yeah, you're right. You can't go out.
Yeah, I have a little trick what I do. If somebody's moving to a certain part of the country and I ask them where they're going and I narrow it down to where in that city or whatever, I just Google a brand name. I call the receptionist and I say, hey, I was just on the phone with one of your top agents, a woman. She has a big team, does tons of listings, and I'm blanking on her name. Name me two of your top agents. And I go, that's her. And they connect me up with her and I got the top agent.
That's actually brilliant.
That's a very cool trick.
Yeah, it's very good. It's really
I always
good,
get the top agent.
Oh, here's the other thing, too, which is always funny. Speaking of top agents, I find it interesting that real estate agents, they get their license, they come to a new brokerage, maybe whatever, RE/MAX or Keller Williams, it doesn't really matter, Coldwell Banker, where do they go, and who do they hang out with? They hang out with all the people who don't do any business, and they all sit in the same conference room, drinking the same coffee, having the same commiseration about how there's no business out there, I can't stand this, the rules are changed, why did I get my license, I spent all this money, instead of going into the office of the top agent and sitting down and going, hey, what are you doing that I'm not?
Exactly. And you know what? Top agents love to talk about their business.
They do.
If you ask top agent what they're doing, they'll tell you. And I'll tell you, no matter what they're all doing, social media, everything else, it all comes down to a conversation. Our business is about a conversation. Yeah. If you have a conversation with somebody, you don't know where it's going to go. And in your database, I'll give you a statistic. If you have 100 people in your database and you talk to them 3 to 4 times a year, email them once or twice a month, you should be able to do 32 transactions. And the average agent does 10.
10 numbers off.
That's right. That's a true
number.
I thought
it was one for every 6.
No. If you have 100 people.
Okay.
The average person knows 100 people. So if you have 100 people in your database and they all know 100 people,
you have
access to 10,000.
And then you're adding those people.
That's where all the business is.
You're adding to the database when you talk to the person. Now I get
it.
Now
and that's
it. Okay.
The big mistake that real estate agents make and business people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm coaching a home care business and a couple other businesses. They all make the same mistake. Like the average agent, if they meet somebody and they got a 500 credit score, they're never going to call them again. But how do they know who they know?
That's right.
What if his father's a doctor? Who would doctors know? Other doctors. So, I mean, it's if you stay in touch with your database three, four, and, but you got to talk to them. Actually talk to them.
Why would
not
you
text them.
Right, not Facebook friend them.
I just wrote a song about, because I'm in a rock and roll band called Kix, and I just wrote a song about the danger of Texas.
Why would you care if they have a $500 credit score?
No, he's saying well, if somebody has a $500 credit score, are they going to buy?
They
real
can't
estate?
Buy. They can't
buy. So remember, you're a real estate agent. I realize that we could teach people with 500 credit scores how to buy real estate all day long.
No, I'm saying
the average person who's going to buy a house to live in, if they have a 500 credit score, and you call, hey, I'm going to sign up. I'm the real estate agent. Do you want to buy a house? They go, oh, I have a 500 credit score. You're probably not going to do business with that person.
Or maybe they will sell their house because they have a 500 credit score.
They don't have one, right?
Okay.
But the point that Mark's saying is, yes, you do want to talk to that person because they may refer you to somebody with an 800 credit score.
Yeah,
you know?
So, I get
so it doesn't.
And if you stay in touch with that person, like what I did with Deanne, I turn them over to Deanne, and a lot of times their credit karma is off, and their scores are usually higher than they actually think they are.
Right.
And if you stay in touch with that person for a year, and they get up to a 620, they buy, now they're a buyer.
Right, so Deanne is your partner.
And you stay in touch with them, they're loyal for life.
Right, Deanne is your partner who, she does mortgages,
correct?
Fabulous,
on
okay,
our show.
Cool. All right, so Ami, real quick, give the phone number.
That's 855-939-1137. 855-939-1137. 855-939-1137. 855-939-1137.
Mark,
855.
I'm sorry. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. One more time. Go ahead.
No, you
do it.
That's 855-939-1137.
I think I'm going to dream about
that. How you use immigrants in this country?
Are you done now?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. We pay you less than $5 an hour.
Yeah, less? I didn't know that.
I didn't think he got paid. Wait a minute. I don't get paid.
I said we pay him less than $5 an hour. I didn't say how much we got paid, right? Remember that.
Can be $5 less than $5 an hour.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about this agent thing, the new buyer agreements and why the general public doesn't understand it, why the agents don't understand it. But let's get back to that in a minute. Hey, Kirk, take us out.
This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Do you know when the best time to buy investment properties is? It's now. It's always now. You just need to learn how to buy them correctly. Go to investorschooling.com and sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday night and learn how to buy investment properties and make money every time. That's right. That's what we teach. We teach how to buy investment properties and make money every time. Go to investorschooling.com and RSVP right now. Take a class this Thursday night at 7 o'clock. That's investorschooling.com. This is Larry Steinhaus with Investor Schooling. Are you ready for retirement? Have you prepared everything you need? Well, in Investor Schooling, we will teach you ways to better prepare for your retirement using real estate and the stock market. But you need to learn how to do it right. And that's what we teach. At Investor Schooling, we sell nothing but education. Come to Investor Schooling and learn how to have a better retirement. Go to investorschooling.com and RSVP right now for this Thursday's class at 7 o'clock. Go to investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Don't go through life ignorant about how to become a millionaire. Learn how to invest in real estate, the stock market, precious metals, and learn from an expert. At Investor Schooling, we teach these things and more. We only provide education, and we will teach you how to leverage real estate, how to leverage the stock market, and how to leverage precious metals to make more money than you've ever made before. Go to investorschooling.com and take a complimentary class this Thursday. We will see you there. Investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. You may know me from my book, Money Hacks. You may know me from my radio shows. And you may even know me from some of these commercials. But listen, I'm teaching stuff that people need to learn about money. In fact, my favorite topic is money. So go to investorschooling.com and you will learn things about money that you never even knew existed. We will teach you things about real estate, about the stock market, and about how to use your IRAs properly. Go to investorschooling.com and sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday night at 7 o'clock. That's investorschooling.com.
This program is paid for by Investor Schooling.
This is more exciting, right? We should do this music right before the lead-in show before ours. You know, because maybe it'll wake people up on 1 o'clock.
Right? Yeah, at 1 o'clock.
Right,
right?
Exactly. I mean, it's like, oh boy, that show, like, oh, it's so bad. I can't believe it. You know what's really funny, though? I'm kind of not supposed to disparage the last shows, so I don't really want to bring up the name of that show.
So if you just listen to us for the first time, we are the Larry Steinhaus Show.
Right.
And we are sponsored by...
Investor Schooling.
Yes, we are.
I can't believe Omri put me back on track. Not you.
I know.
That's fascinating. I want to welcome our guest.
That's fascinating. Omri's going to take over the radio.
No, I'm not.
Go ahead. Welcome our guest.
We have a great guest, Mark, here, who is...
You remembered his name this time.
Yeah, of course. I can't pronounce the last name.
Cumberland.
Cumberland. And he knows how to... He will actually teach you how to be a real estate agent.
That's right.
And we are going to talk about the new laws.
So, real quick... How can people go to you to become a real estate agent?
Well, bottom line, to get a license, it's not that difficult. It's a 75-hour course required by the state. It's you sign up with a... You got to be very careful with real estate schools. There's not that many, and there's one thing you got to be very careful. I had 16 of these students last month. There's 4 national schools. And they say great things like 95% pass rate and do it at your own pace and do it at your own convenience. And after they get your money, you'll find out there's no instructor. And it's you clicking through 75 hours of PowerPoint.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Really?
And if you stop, you got to start over. There's 22 chapters. And they had tests at the end of every chapter. You don't get a 9. I had 16 of them last month. Most of them mess around with it 5 to 6 months before they give up and come to me.
Right, right. So how do they join your school?
Basically, 90% of my students come from Google.
I'm trying to help them out, man. Yeah, What's the URL for your school?
Oh, PhiladelphiaRealEstateClasses.com.
So I went to your school, actually. I went to your school, right, and I got my agent, my license through you guys. And what was interesting is that I took my test, like COVID was happening, but it's before they shut anything down. And I scheduled my test. I just want to get it done and over with. And I think I took my test, I want to say like on a Wednesday, and that Monday, everything was shut down. So all the guys that I went to school with, most of them didn't take their test yet. And they had to wait till, all that time. And I'm telling you, I got in, and I'm telling you, within 3 or 4 days, everything got shut down and they weren't able to take it.
So, and now you can take it online, actually.
I know, but back then it was...
Yeah. That test is not that hard.
No,
a lot of people make a big deal about it.
But if you want to become a real estate agent, you got to do 75 hours. Mark's a great teacher because you'll learn it and you'll remember it. Because I know a lot of people who've gone to your school.
I send you people from your
I appreciate that. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much. All right, real quick, we got Ella on the line. What's going on, Ella? Oh, is it Ella? Is that right?
Hey, how you doing?
What's happening?
Listen, what happened to with a low score in the credit report, but you have a lot of money down? Is that still going on?
Wait, I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
Low score in the credit bureau. So maybe 510, 525, but you've got a lot of money down.
So if you have a credit score of 525 and you want to put a lot of money down, is that what you're saying? Can you still get a mortgage?
Right.
Maybe. It depends on who you're getting a mortgage from and what their requirements are. But more importantly, if you have a lot of money to put down, why is your credit score down that low?
Because I don't buy a lot of junk and take vacations and do it up like other Americans. I'm not going to waste my money. I'll do it on land and homes, but I'm not going to do it, on frivolous things.
So why the credit score is so low?
You know what? I bet your credit score is not that low. You would have to really talk to somebody. You know for a fact that it's 520?
From Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, we love to do it that way. And most of the people that do it that way get a private mortgage, so they're paying the former owner.
Yeah, sure. Making a lot of money. We teach that. We actually teach that. We teach people how to buy houses with absolutely no money and not use banks.
But I want you to know, as realtors are doing this, it's not like, they make the deal themselves, the buyer and the seller. Realtors are setting this up.
They're setting what? They're setting up private lenders? Lenders?
Or having the seller hold the note.
So if realtors are doing that, those are very bright realtors. I'm actually shocked that there are realtors out there that know how to do private funding.
Yeah, well, the seller has to do is say yes, right? They've got to say yes. I mean, it's really not academic.
It's according to how it's explained. If you explain to the seller, listen, you're going to be basically the bank, and we're going to put a note up, and you could do something like that in a couple of weeks. And what's the risk to the seller if they're in that situation where you can be the buyer and they have a promissory note and you don't pay the mortgage, they get the house back, plus they keep all your money. I've done it a lot, yeah. And I've
that's
done it
something
mostly
we teach
in commercial.
Here in the school.
That's exactly what we teach.
Yeah, that's exactly what we teach here in the school.
So you know, we teach how to do this all the time. Are you? So did you say you're a real estate investor now?
Oh no, no, no. What I'm saying is initially, what I'm saying is even with a mortgage company, if you have a lot of money down, they will give you the mortgage. At least that's been my experience. That they will give you the mortgage. I have a mortgage now. Yeah. With a lot of money down 25 years ago, and I'm still with that company.
So, Ella, I will ask you a question. How what will be your interest rate, the percentage, a year? If you put, let's say, 50% down, how much will you pay?
I don't think North Jersey would be low, or, say, Bucks County. They would really zoom it to you, the high mortgage rate. But in Lancaster County, it's the Amish people who we buy a lot of land from and build homes. It's traditionally pretty low, like 4 or 5%. That's low.
It is low.
Well, it's not going to be 4 or 5%. Maybe for a farm, but it's not going to be 4 or 5%
for a house. Yeah. No.
These aren't big business people like killers. You know, they understand the thing about live and let live. So they're happy to get it off their hands. They want to get rid of it.
All right. Well, hey, we appreciate the call.
She's talking about the seller finance.
I don't know.
Yes.
She's talking about self-finance or private investors.
Yeah, I don't see a bank giving you a loan with that kind of credit score.
Well,
even though you've got a lot of cash, they might suggest another way to go about it.
You may have a portfolio bank that does it. So, you know, the difference between a portfolio bank and a regular bank. A portfolio bank is they have their own money, and they lend their own money, and they make their own rules.
Yeah.
So they may say, hey, listen, you can buy a $500,000 house, you can put $250,000 down. Yeah, we'll give you a $250,000 loan at 8% because we know that if you don't pay your loan, we're going to take your house. So
that's right.
They have no risk.
You should really come here, Ella, and figure out that the last place you will go for a loan like you just described is a bank.
Right. Yeah. We're going to teach you how to use private investors, and it's so much easier when you use private investors.
Especially if you put so much money down and the risk is so low for the lender, because you put so much money down, you will have people standing in line to lend you this money against the house.
Yeah, we actually teach people how to get money back at closing. So, like, you know, I'm buying a house next week, mm-hmm. and I'm going to leave closing with $10,000 in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to own the house when I make about $200 a month on that house.
I found you a tenant.
Did you find me a tenant?
I did find you a tenant.
We'll talk about that.
I have a tenant.
There's so many different ways to do real estate.
Yeah.
It's just the lack of knowledge out there.
And most people have no idea. Ella, we appreciate you calling. Thanks so much. And anybody else out there, they want to call and talk to us about anything, any experience they have in real estate, the phone number is
855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137. 855-939-1137.
You know what's funny? I'm watching Mark laugh when you read the phone number. No, anybody who comes in the room has to laugh when Romney does the phone number.
It's the fizz.
It's just so funny.
They get the fizz, I know.
Yeah, they get the fizz?
Of course.
Are we going to get into that again?
We can, but we have more important things to discuss while Mark is in the studio.
Right. That voice is the only voice that can make you, consider a sex change operation. So
no! Oh, my God. You just presented me as liberal.
Look, we got people online. They're like, this guy, Johnny, says he's ready to lend money. Let's go.
Yeah,
so this
exactly.
is the kind of stuff we teach. We teach people how to lend money. We teach people how to borrow money. I mean, you got people, you know how I blast annuities last week? We talked about blasting annuities. Mm-hmm. You want to make a lot of money? Lend people money.
Yeah. Listen,
instead of buying an annuity and wasting your money and having insurance companies steal all your money, literally steal your money. If you
Correct.
Heard the show last week, you'd understand it. And if not, go back and listen to it. Literally steal your money. If you don't want to do that, lend money to real estate investors and make three times the amount of money-ish than what the annuity company promises you that they're not going to give you anyway.
That's the best way to wake you up, you know?
What?
When you are like calm or sleepy, I will come to your ear and I will say annuity, and he will be like, okay.
It is the worst financial vehicle ever invented for the consumer.
They just configured it for everybody to use, which is not something that everybody needs to use. Only unresponsible people that are afraid to spend all their money drink.
So there's two. I mean, and I know we're off on the top, but
yeah,
there's two things about the annuity. One is if you use it the way it's supposed to be used, which is you deposit a large sum of money
and immediately take money out. Yes, correct.
That's the way annuities should be used. But these rip-off registered reps.
So I want to announce.
No,
Mark
no, I
Cumberland
really
want to
talk about this.
Okay, but
I need to finish it.
Finish
you know why I need to finish it?
Finish it.
Because there's so many people that advertise annuities, and these people who are listening to the show get ripped off.
As an investment plan for some unknown reason.
You can't put money in an annuity and then 10 years annuitize it.
No.
Because all you did was lose money.
Correct.
If you bought an annuity and you immediately took it out, that's fine. Now, what do you want to say?
That I wanted to say that we do have a special guest who's coming into our class on Thursday to teach for us.
We do.
And guess who it's going to be?
Who is it?
It's going to be Mark Cumberland. He's going to come in on Thursday talking to us about becoming a real estate agent.
He was also in the show on Saturday.
He's going to be talking about becoming a real estate agent because I think it's great for our students to become real estate agents.
Yep.
And he's also going to be talking about databases.
So
here's an interesting thing.
So Mark, in case you didn't know, that's what your topic is going to be.
These are Mark's signature things. So here's something interesting, and Mark, you'll appreciate this. So what do we tell a brand new student who wants to invest in real estate? What is their first assignment?
The 300 list.
The 300 list,
The 300 list, yeah. Right? So you'll appreciate this. So this is what we tell people to do. We say make a list of 300 people who know you,
right.
Not who you know, who know you, right? And this is the criteria of the list, and you'll like this. The criteria of the list is real simple. You're getting married. And I tell you that if you invite 300 people to this wedding, I will pay for the wedding. Now, they don't have to come. You just have to invite them. And then it's funny. I'll always ask this next question. I'll say, hey, would you invite your Aunt Sally, who lives in California, to mobile home, who never pays her bill? And you know what they do? They say, no, I wouldn't invite her.
Of course you will. She won't come. Why do you care?
Right, exactly. She won't come. Why do you care?
Exactly.
And
invite
it's the
her.
Funniest thing. They don't get it. They don't understand that your Aunt Sally, who lives in a mobile home park in California, yes, you're going to be sending her letters about investing in real estate and how she can help you invest in real estate. But you're right. She can't help you, but she may know someone who can help you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is pretty much what you said before. You said when you create a database as a real estate agent, it doesn't matter who they are. What matters is that they may be able to help you. Are you heading over there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Debbie's going over. We had student orientation today. Everybody say goodbye to Dr. Deb.
Bye.
Goodbye, Deb.
All right. So that's why I always think, you know, we tell people to just put anybody on the list. It doesn't matter who.
Yeah, your database in almost any business is the key to your business. I had a coach back in 2008 when I helped open the first Keller Williams in Philly, and my goal was to hire people, but the average agent, the average person knows 100 people, and that's where all the business is. So if you got 100 people, you got access to 10,000 people. Like my database, I see the number every day. This morning it was 2787. I should play that number today. That's how many people are in my database times 100.
Right, right.
So I mean, if you stay in touch with those people, that's where all different types of businesses are. You know, and all kinds
still,
of investments.
Are you still selling real estate?
Yeah, I still sell. I just sold three.
Yeah, good, excellent, okay.
But it's like, you know, I don't do as much residential. I look for more commercial, but agents in general, most of them are not that good. And
of course.
I've hired close to 1,000 agents since 2002.
Yeah.
And I ask three questions of every business person and agent I meet. How do you get all your business? How many people in your database and how often you call them?
Right.
And the number one survey answer is, I get all my business from referrals, which is not true.
And if that's true, that they're doing three deals a year.
They have no clue. Second question, how many people are in database? Most of the time I get, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Or none, or a lot. And then I say how many, right. And they've been in business 10 years and they got like 300.
I always ask the question like this, how many people know you're in the real estate business?
Yeah.
And they're like, hundreds. I'm like, really?
Hundreds.
Hundreds, right. They hundreds know. And I was like, how do hundreds know you're in the real estate business? And they're like, well, they know because I'm on Facebook. And like, you actually think they know because you're on Facebook? I said, okay. Then I say, out of those hundreds, how many do you actually talk to, either face-to-face or on the telephone? Not many.
None.
How many? Maybe 10? Okay, so then 10 people know you're in the real estate business.
I just had a kid. I'll give you an example. First year in the real estate business, When they graduate my school, after I do the coaching session called 0 to 20 million, I send them about 30 emails. And in there is the disc, the everything else, but also reminders, and I send them scripts. Well, this kid made 10 calls every morning at 10 a.m. He did $6.7 million in sales his first year.
That's great.
By making 10 calls a day and using a script and saying the magic words, I need your help. And now he just came back to me because he needs to hire an assistant because he realized at that, now he's worth $70-$80 an hour, and he's paying himself $70-$80 an hour to do admin work, and I helped him hire an assistant, and he'll double his business.
So I got to tell you a funny story, and then I want to talk about buyer brokers. The first year I was a real estate agent, it was about 20 years ago, it was the first year I was in a business real estate agent, I always say I did $10 million in the first year, which I didn't. I actually did $9.7 million in the first year. And the funny part was I felt like a failure because I didn't do $10 million, right? And probably the reason I did $10 million was I made a lot of money that year. The reason I did $10 million of production in real estate business because I didn't know that was a really high number for real estate agents. To me, I thought that was, if you didn't do $10 million in real estate, how could you even survive? That's, you know, that's not a whole lot of money. When you think about it, it's not a whole lot of money. The average agent does $1 million.
Average agent does about $2 million, 2.3.
Because of the price,
and that's why they're making 70 grand a year.
Right.
But I mean, I Gary Keller told me a story one time when he first got into business. He set his goals, and he got done. He hit his goals in the 11th month, and then he was like cruising. Then he realized he set his goals too low.
Yeah, exactly. So you go slow. Exactly. All right. So real quick, I want to talk about the buyer broker situation because we have both listeners who might be real estate agents, but more importantly, we have listeners who are consumers and they're being told that, you know, they see the news and it says that the buyer broker, the person who helps you, can no longer be paid by the seller agent.
That's not
which
true.
Is not true, and it's not even right. I mean, the whole concept was somebody sued the National Association of Realtors and said, hey, why am I paying for this guy? If the buyer broker is representing a buyer, why am I paying his commission?
Yeah, a lawyer started this whole thing. And he was basically trying to say that the real estate agents were price fixing.
Yeah, they're making too much money.
But that wasn't true from Jump Street. In fact, NAR, I think, screwed up here, saddling. But like, the thing was, commissions have always been negotiable. I mean, if you, right. like you, a typical, the average commission, just say it's 3% on a residential house.
So it's 3% on one side, though.
Yeah, on one side. Maybe it was 6%, right?
Yeah, let's use 6% because that makes more 6%, sense if you use the numbers, right?
But in actuality, that one side gets 3%, the other side, and then that gets split up between the agent, the broker, and everything else, so everybody's getting a piece. But, like, if you sell a $5 million house, there's no way they're giving you 6% out. It's always been negotiable.
Correct.
The big mistake was, here's the big mistake. And I was taught in 99, you always sign a buyer. You're supposed to do two things before you show a house. Before you even have a conversation about real estate with a consumer. You're supposed to explain the consumer notice on how agents represent a consumer in Pennsylvania, the five different ways, which I don't have time to get into. And the second thing you're supposed to do is sign a buyer agency agreement.
Right.
So before you go into this house, you're on the buyer's side. Everybody in Pennsylvania, every agent represents the seller unless you sign a buyer agency agreement. I'll give you an example. If I had my house up for sale or you had your house up for sale, and an agent comes walking through, and what they do, typically hand you a card and say, I'm going to take a tour. They don't even talk to you. Which I always talk to the sellers, but they go take the tour, and then all of a sudden you hear the agent point and say, oh, look at that. That might be an issue up there. Now, if that was my house, I'd say to that agent, let me see your buyer agency contract. Oh, I didn't sign one. I said, well, when are you moving in? That's how much liability there is. And most of the agents, they meet their buyers at the first showing.
Right, which is terrible.
And then
you need to bring them in the office.
Yeah, you do a buyer needs analysis. Right. You ask them, what's the most important thing that we need to talk about?
How do you know what they're looking for?
Yeah, exactly. Most agents now are female, right? You get a nicely dressed female who has a picture online, and now you have somebody call her up and say, hey, listen, I want to buy 123 Main Street. Can you meet me there at, I don't know, at 10 o'clock Saturday morning?
So they didn't know the agent before.
Hold on a second, right? They call that agent, and the agent says, okay, and instead of bringing them into the office and seeing if they're a real live person, real live buyer, right, if their name is even their real name, they meet them in an empty house alone. It's insane.
It's a safety
issue. If you're an agent and you're doing this, wow, I hope you're carrying. That's all I have to say.
I've had guys, I have male agents gotten robbed by, here's how I operate. If I meet a new buyer, I have a meeting. I go to their house, we have a sit down, and they're expecting to go right out and look. And I don't take anybody out that's not totally pre-approved. And most of the time, I work with Deanne, I just give her the buyer. She approves them as high as they go. Then we can figure out where they want to go, what the taxes are going to be, and what that monthly payment is going to be. And then when they're totally all their tax returns, everything else is done, then we go out looking. And they sign a buyer agency contract with me, so I tell them, I'm on your side. And that's what that case was all about. It was saying that we were fixing commission prices, which we weren't. It's always been negotiable. And the lawyers made all the money in this whole thing.
Right.
And now he's going after landlords. He's trying to start another thing.
Same
where
one.
Landlords
Same
are lawyer. Fixing, yeah. Are fixing rental prices.
Yeah, that's not going to bother us.
But I mean,
the whole thing
was ridiculous. Right. But most of the agents, though, are not doing it correctly. You got to sign that contract.
Right.
Even if you show a house on Sunday for an hour,
right.
You can make that deal for
three hours. It's just like if you go to a lawyer and the lawyer says, yes, you explain the case to the lawyer says, I will accept your case. Then he sends you a letter of engagement that you must sign in order for him to represent you.
Or they're not going
to
talk to you.
Right, or they're not even going to represent you, right? You can't go to court until you do that. It's the same thing with this with a real estate agent who's your buyer broker who's going to help you find a house. You got to sign this thing. Now, I used to do this years ago. We don't do that because you can hear it.
Oh, sorry.
Years ago, it used to be that I would meet somebody in the office. I'd have them sign a buyer broker agreement. I'd say, my commission is 3% of the sales price plus, whatever fee. So let's say 3% of the sales price. And it didn't matter what the other side was giving. I actually had a minimum. My minimum at the time, many years ago, my minimum was $2,500. And the reason I would do that was because I was selling sometimes houses that are $30,000.
Yeah.
Because I'm selling investment properties, right?
All right.
So I would say my minimum is $2,500. Now it would be $5,000. My minimum is $2,500 or 3%, whichever is higher. Right now, if the person selling the house only wanted to offer me 2%, I would take the 2% from the seller and the other 1%
make up the difference
from the buyer.
So
Now, hold on one second. The buyers are being told, the buyer broker is being told he's getting nothing or they're getting nothing until they negotiate it. So the crazy thing is these people, the buyer agents are not writing in the contract. Seller will reimburse buyer 3% of the sales price as commission to the buyer broker.
Well, here's the worst thing that's going on. Then they agreed in this lawsuit that you couldn't put the commission that the seller was offering in the multiple MLS, listing service,
which is ridiculous.
Right. And so now, if you want to show a house, if you want to know if that seller is offering a commission, because you got to tell your buyer, you got to call the agent, and majority of them don't answer their phones.
Of course.
So then you don't know if they're offering. So what I always taught my agents, and I still do, I say in special clauses in the agreement of sale, just put in seller will pay selling agent 50% of total commission.
That's exactly
commission
what
plus
I say. So I actually say 3%. You know why? Yeah. I want them to negotiate it down. So I say 3% because if they don't negotiate it, I'm getting 3%.
I used to just put 50%. The only time an agent was selling a house for his sister, convinced her broker to only offer 2%, and I asked for 50%.
And you got one.
And she told me, and they still gave me the commission.
I'm going to tell you what happened. I was selling his house, and the buyer broker didn't write anything like that in there. I was charging Omri $500 just for, just to run it through the office, right? $500. And they were like, well, we want 50% of the commission. I said, I only charged $500. I said, you didn't put anything in this agreement or anything. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you the whole $500. I feel bad. Because they didn't go to their buyer and say, hey, listen, he's not going to pay me, so either you pay me or let's put it in the contract. They didn't put it in the contract. That agent got nothing, and they got $500.
Hey. Snooze, you lose.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got to know what's going on. But this whole case got blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
Sellers are still offering commissions. It's human nature, like the 80-20 rule and everything else in life. If you tell a seller, and we have low inventory, we've been in a seller's market since 2012, and we're in a really bad seller's market, which I blame on the agents for not staying in touch with their databases, because a lot of sellers are going to miss the boat.
Right.
This is the best time in history to sell. I mean, you're going to get top dollar. I listed a quad. It lasted a day. You know, there was like 8 offers.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, if you don't have the knowledge of what's going on, it ends up costing you money.
Absolutely.
And sellers, if there's 10 houses, I live in Foxy's. If there's 10 houses for sale in Foxy's, and 9 of them are offering a commission, and this one says, "Oh, I don't have to pay a commission."
Right.
And agents are the ones searching the houses on the MOS for these buyers. Right. You think they're going to show that house? Now, ethically, they're supposed to.
Right.
But human nature is in play here.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know.
So real quick, we got 2 minutes left.
They're probably not going to show that.
We got 2 minutes left. Ami, there was something you wanted to say and I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just curious. What would you recommend a buyer to do right now if an agent come to him and try to sign him on a contract that say that they are obligated to pay the commission? If they're not getting it from the seller.
Well, it's how you explain it. If you explain to the buyer, listen, if you don't sign a contract with me, I am on the seller's side. I'm not on your side. Don't you want me on my side?
And most of the time, I get it.
You.
And majority of the time, you get the agent for free. The sellers do pay commissions.
Yeah.
And that's not going to go away. There's going to be some obstinate sellers that are going to say, I'm not paying the commission. But I'm telling you what, they're going to start waking up when they're not getting as many showings as everybody else.
And now what's happening, too, is a lot of agents are quitting because they don't understand how to do this. They think it's difficult. I mean, it cracks me up.
This has been going on for years.
Right,
I'll give you an example. I had a mortgage person in my real estate class one day, and we were talking about this. And I asked the mortgage person to go back, check all your files, and look at the dates of when everything was signed.
And it's always signed the day. I know.
Everything was signed on the same day. So the whole time before all the showings and all the talk about the price and they were on the other person's side.
All right. I got to cut you off because we're out of time at this point. I appreciate you coming in. It's awesome, Mark. And actually, if you want to come to Investor Schooling this Thursday, go to investorschooling.com. Mark's going to be talking about becoming a real estate agent. He'll be talking about building a database, which I think is even more important than anything else, especially for our students. Also, I want to, of course, thank Dr. Deb. I want to thank Ami for being here today.
Thank you.
Ami, you're awesome. Of course, Mark for being here today.
Kirk did
a great job, as always, being our producer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys want to learn more about Investor Schooling, go to investorschooling.com. And you can take a complimentary class this Thursday night. Like I said, Mark's going to be there. But we teach all kinds of stuff. We teach real estate. We teach investments. We teach how to make more money. So go to investorschooling.com, and we will see you Thursday night.
This program is paid for by Investor Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investor Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
I'm Sarah Austin Jeunesse, The Moth's executive producer and longtime host of The Moth Podcast. Every week, we share true stories told live and without notes by real people from all walks of life. Stories about disastrous haircuts, May-December romances, photographing Pluto, fighting for justice, and so much more. Some stories make you laugh, some make you think, and many stay with you long after they're told. Discover the power of story. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.